you went ahead and put it on, all right? That's for sure. It's a joy this morning to see Ms. Dunbar back in the choir, you know. It's a good thing. However, I'm a little worried. Y'all see Brother Dunbar back there? See where he's at? Y'all know what this means. Having the kids made him backslide. Because he used to sit up here. Look, you need to be careful. Your children can cause you problems. That's what I'm saying. Don't let them cause you to backslide. Don't do that. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you will, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth which the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Well, I don't know if you were paying attention, but these verses contain maybe the greatest promise that could ever be given to a nation. And you think about what verse 7, 8, and 9 say. They promise what nations want, what people want, man, a good land, a well-watered land, a fruitful land. But if that's not enough, look there in verse 9 where the Bible says, all right, thou shalt not lack anything in it. Hey, can I just ask you, how does it get any better than that? How does it get any better than that? You're not going to lack any good thing in it, all right? Any good thing in it. Boy, amazing. But I want you to go back. I want you to look at the fourth word in verse 2. In verse 2. Notice, thou shalt remember. Remember. If you read the book of Deuteronomy and mark it, you'll find 13 verses in the book of Deuteronomy alone where God exhorts his people to remember what God had done, to remember how he had taken them. He said how he's taken you through the land, the wilderness, how he provided for you, and how he proved you everything he did. He says, remember it. And he said it 13 times. Remember, remember, remember. Right? Now that's the positive side. In the same book, you'll find 8 instances where the Lord admonishes his people to not forget what God had done for them. Look in chapter 8, verse 11. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So we've got the positive emphasis, remember, and the negative emphasis, don't forget. Don't forget. Over and over, God exhorts us to do that. You see, the Lord knew people, and he still knows us, all right? He knows what happens to us. He knew the children of Israel were going to have a problem remembering. If you remember reading through Exodus, How many times that they got upset and said, oh, would to God we'd have stayed back in Egypt, and he's brought us out here to die in the wilderness, you know. Hey, they forgot how things were in Egypt. Real quickly. We like to think, well, you know, that wouldn't happen to us. But hey, the truth of the matter is, it's a sad truth that the memory of so many people is so short. Now, God warned them for a reason. He warned them for a reason. Because when you forget God, there's some definite signs, there's some definite evidences that'll accompany that lapse of memory, all right? And I want to preach to you this morning for just a little while on when you forget God. When you forget God. You said, preacher, what a waste of time. We're here, obviously, we haven't forgotten God. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Let me just talk about things, you know, about some things from the scriptures here. When you forget God, would you look in verse 11? I think here's the first thing that comes out. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. In not keeping. Hey, one of the first things that happens when you forget God is obedience decreases. Obedience decreases. Hey, it's no secret that obedience to God really drops like a rock when people forget God. We just quit obeying him. His commandment is no longer important. We don't look at it as important. So, you know, the people that forget God say, well, that commandment's not so important. You said, how do you know that? Well, the Israelites, they're example for us in the Old Testament. They strayed so many times far from the command of God because they forgot the goodness and the blessing of God. And they forgot where, as we might say today, they forgot where their bread was buttered. All right, we don't say that today, but they used to say that, all right? That was an old saying, man, don't forget where your bread's buttered. Hey, we forget that. We forget how much God's done. The Israelites did that. You read through the Old Testament, and you see it over and over and over and over again. You said, why do they have such a hard time? Because they forgot what God did for them. They forgot it was his blessing. It was his goodness that had provided for them. I think this might be the very first evidence that people forget God, because we begin to quit obeying his commands. I'm talking about those clear-cut things in the Word of God. Those things that are there, they're open. Not only do we quit obeying, not only is there disobedience, but we begin to defend our disobedience. We begin to say, well, yeah, but it's okay because, hey, you just have to understand these things, you know. I don't know how many times I've watched people exhibit that trait. People don't show up at church. And when they don't show up at church, and they show up, I try to go see them. I go looking for them. You know, I go, hey, is everything okay? I was with some folks this week. I went to see them. I said, man, you hadn't been to church. Everything okay? Is there a problem? Did I do something? Did somebody else do something? Oh, no, 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 no. Well, did you forget God? And I didn't ask him that. Maybe I should have, all right? I tried to get him to get here this morning, and I could just preach it to him, all right? Sometimes you take it better in a crowd than you do face-to-face individually, all right? You know, and you don't say, well, he's preaching at me, and you look around to see if everybody else is looking at you. Well, they're not, okay? They're not, but hey, we disobey God, and then we begin to defend it. Well, you know, here I am, I'm busy, you know. Hey, we see it. What people used to do, they don't do it anymore. And man, what they do now is totally different from what they used to do. The way they used to live and the way they live now. I mentioned people, they skip church. People begin, one of the clear signs that people are getting disobedient to God, they begin to stay out of church. Now, they're not sick. They're not sick. They're not on vacation. They just don't come to church. You know, I exhorted you last week and tried to remind you. I know this is Labor Day weekend. I know that, but I remind you, Labor Day is tomorrow, not today. All right? This is the Lord's Day. We ought to be in the house of God. You're looking at a preacher that believes you ought to go to church. All right? Just ought to go. You ought to be there. And when people start skipping church, what are they doing? Well, they begin to say it doesn't matter if we disobey God because God said you ought to go, all right? They don't do it. They quit giving scripturally. Oh, they may tip God every now and then. But they don't give scripturally, all right? We begin to adopt the habits of this old world. begin to adopt the habits of this old world. We begin to quit living like God wants you to live, and we begin to live like the rest of the world lives, all right? Why? Because we forget God. We forget God. Not only that, we begin to look for someone to tell us what we want to hear. What we want to hear. I'll never forget visiting with my dad, man. We were talking, I don't know, probably 50 years ago or close to it. I was with my dad, and we were visiting, and I visited this fellow that had come to church, and he began to tell us about some of the things he had done. He said, man, preacher, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I've sent money to Dr. Gene Scott. Now, I don't know if any of you know or remember who Dr. Gene Scott was or is. I don't know if he's still alive, but he had a TV show on, usually on late at night, and he smoked a cigar, and he cursed, and he drank beer, but he professed to be a Christian. And this guy we were visiting said, yeah, I said, I regret it, but I sent it to him because he said he told me what I wanted to hear. He said, I smoke, I drink, and I cuss, and I wanted somebody to tell me it's okay. Hey, listen, what happens? Well, we forget God. We forget God. When you do that, obedience always decreases. Always decreases. Tell you something else that happens. Look down in verse 13, all right? Still have your Bible open. It says in verse 13, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Hey, when you forget God, the unimportant gains importance. That which is unimportant gains importance. You said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says all thou hast is multiplied. The children of Israel prospered. Boy, they prospered in the promised land. God put them there. God gave them a land that flowed, as the Bible said, with milk and honey, and it provided for them. They prospered there, and it got to the stage where they didn't lack much of anything. When that happens, people get content. And when you get content, you get complacent. You don't worry about it anymore. You're not careful anymore. People often forget God when everything seems to be going their way. And everything's great. Everything's good. I've got good health. Man, you know, young, vigorous, got a good bank account. I've got a good job, got income. I've got promotion in the world. I'm being promoted to a better job. Everything's good. And we get like the rich man that's in the New Testament, where the Bible said his barns were filled with plenty, and when that happens, they think they have need of nothing. We sure don't need God, okay? Sure don't need God. So what do we do? Well, we forget him. We forget him. Everything's wonderful. Everything's good. There's people I've met through the years of my ministry that if they were prosperous, they forgot God. I mean, everything. As long as everything was going good, you didn't see them. When they came to church, you got to the point where you went wondered, well, wonder what's happened. Wonder what's befallen them now. Because that's the only time they felt like they needed God. Hey, unimportant things become so important. Hey, listen, that gold and that silver, oh, yeah, it's good to have. It's nice. That new car, wonderful thing to have. Wonderful thing. I'm not against it. I was listening yesterday. The only radio show I listen to on Saturday is the Car Pro show. And I'm entertained by the guys that are on there and talking about it. But they were talking about you can now buy, there is an SUV on the market, $300,000. I'm going, who in the world would buy a vehicle for $300,000? Now, if you're planning on it, could I talk to you, all right? I'd just like to talk to you a little bit, okay? I'm amazed. But we get so focused on stuff. Man, we get so focused on stuff. Now, listen, no, I'm not preaching down to you. I've got a bunch of stuff myself, all right? But I don't want my stuff to get too important. I don't want my stuff to get too important. I've told my kids on many times, I said, look at all this. You're going to get this when I die. They get so excited. They wonder, how long will it take us to get it in the dumpster? You know, all right? You know, they're not excited. But, hey, you know, we've got all this stuff. But we let that stuff become important. And what happens to us, we forget God, and it's the collecting of the stuff that becomes important. We need more stuff. I need a new and better phone. Now, try not to look in pain when I say that, all right? I've got to have the latest and the greatest. I've got some friends that, man, they talk about having two or three laptops, and I'm going, what in the world for? I don't know. Most of y'all can't do two of them at once, can you? All right? And I'm just amazed. But it's all that stuff that's out there. And we get fascinated by the stuff. What's unimportant seems to gain so much importance with us. Why? Because we've forgotten God. We've forgotten Him. And we begin to live for that stuff. We begin to live because I got to have, hey, preacher, I can't come to church. I got to get that second job because I got to pay for that stuff. That stuff. I don't have time to raise my kids. I was talking to a lady at a football game a couple of weeks ago. She was talking about, and I talk to people, I'm going to get around to talking to them about church. And I asked her where she went to church. She said, well, we used to go. And I told her, I said, ma'am, you're leaving out the important thing. You're leaving out the important thing. Why? Because we forget God. We forget God, disobedience. All right, obedience takes a hit. The unimportant becomes too important. But it gets worse. You still got your Bible open? Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Boy, you talk about, you forget God, it inflates your ego like you would not believe. The words my, me, and I suddenly become words that are used more often. I'm reminded over there in the Old Testament where the Bible talks about that anointed cherubim that said, I will anoint my, you know, and I. The old devil was talking about him. He was trying to elevate himself. Hey, that what happened to Israel. Israel got the idea of their success and their prosperity were the result of their power and their prowess. What a mistake. What a mistake. When overcome with a sense of their own greatness, God was pushed into the background. You said, preacher, that doesn't happen to me. Wait a minute now, be careful. Be careful. Multitudes of people allow this same thing to happen in their lives in this day. Multitudes of people do. It's what I have because of my own efforts, my expertise, and my energy. Now, you be careful, all right? Be real careful. You might not say it, but your actions say it. Your actions say it. We get to thinking, it's me. It's me. I did it. You get to the point, all right, if you get great enough, you don't need God. Don't need God. I've said this multitudes of times. We live in such a blessed country, and our own prosperity is killing us. You said, preacher, I ain't all that prosperous. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Some of y'all are old enough to remember. Old enough to remember what it was to live with one vehicle. Some of you say, what do you mean? Remember, we're doing it now. Okay. But it's amazing how many houses you drive by, and it's not one, it's two. Sometimes there's not room in the driveway. There's so many, all right? And all kinds of vehicles, and we've got that prosperity. You live in a house that's got central heat and central air conditioning. You live in that. Prosperous. We're prosperous. I used to say you got wall-to-wall carpeting. Now you got wall-to-wall vinyl flooring, okay? Or vinyl plank or whatever, you know. Carpet seems to have gone the way, but I still like my carpet, okay? My son says, Dad, need to go. I said, take a hike. This is my house, okay? You know, you do whatever you want to in yours. This is mine. And we've got the prosperity, okay? We've got the prosperity. Well, we've got it. We've got all that stuff. We got it. We carry it around, and we've got access to information. You know, we talk about the phone. And by the way, I'm not against you having two cars. I'm not against you having an air conditioner and a central heated house. I'm not against. Man's wonderful, good. But wait a minute. Our problem is the better off we get, the less we think we need God. You said, I just don't believe it. Well, try knocking doors for a while. Try knocking doors for a while. Go to the more lower income part of town and knock doors and see how you're received. Then go to Colleyville. Go out there, that area where there's $1 million home next to another. Knock on those doors. See how you're received. I'll never forget. I think it was a preacher I knew that was up in Chicago area, but not in Chicago, but in that area. He said we was knocking on doors in a very expensive area, and he said we won a lot of butlers and maids to the Lord, but not the people that owned it. Why? Because we're prosperous. We don't need it. Why? Because look what I've done. Look what I've done. Hey, you be careful, all right? You be careful. You get so great, you think, don't need God. You think, I can do whatever I want to. My talent is so amazing, and I can do. Now you might not say that, but you get the idea. I don't need God's help. I don't need His direction. Don't need His blessing. I don't need His protection. I was talking to a moron one time, and I don't know a better word to describe him than just years ago. And he rode. He was a rodeo contestant. He rode Bronx. And I had a young person with me, visiting with me, and that young person said, well, man, I guess you pray before you get on there. Oh, no. I say, Lord, you get off. There's not room for both of us on here. I looked down at his leg. He had a brace on his leg. Maybe you should have had God with you there, buddy. Why? Oh, it's my ability. It's my ability. It's my genius. I'm so smart. I'm so talented. Hey, what happens to us? Now, hang on to your place here in Deuteronomy. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 1. Would you, over in the New Testament, the book of Romans chapter 1. So, man, I don't know how in the world that's going to happen. I don't see it. Well, wait a minute. Here's where you're headed, all right? Here's where you're headed. You get enough of that, and you get to Romans 1:25. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, still hear those pages turning, so I'll wait just a moment. We're not in a hurry. Ms. Poe's lunch is still not ready, so we can wait just a little bit, all right? All right, Romans 1:25, you see that? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. But here it is, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You say, what happens? Hey, boy, when you begin to think your ego gets good enough, you begin to serve the creature. That's me. Or yourself. You begin to serve man. You quit serving God. Because you think, I can do it. Don't need His help. I'm on my own. I'm okay. Watch out, man. Watch out. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me, if you will. I want you to drop down to the last two verses in this chapter. The Lord has warned them. He started in verse 2 and He said, remember, remember. And you got to verse 8, He said, beware lest thou forget. And you get to verse 19, and it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them. You said, preacher, I'm not doing that. I tell you what, when you begin to just serve yourself, you're worshiping another god. It's called you, all right? He said, if you do that, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Notice, when you forget God, there's a tremendous price to pay. There is a tremendous price to pay. Ye shall surely perish. Hey, wait a minute. It doesn't say maybe. It says surely. There's no doubt, no doubt that God will judge those who forget Him. God will judge them. Now hear me, okay? Would you just listen to me? Some people perish before they physically die. But they perish before they physically die. They dry up on the inside. They just wither away. They become bitter. Sometimes become just supremely selfish, very difficult to be around. You ever been around anybody like that? Sometimes it's a very slow death. Why? Forgot God. Forgot God. I'll be honest, in my lifetime I've seen it happen to people. Man, a person who was once joyful, happy, satisfied, serving God, but they forgot the goodness of God. They quit doing that. Obedience went in the tank. Unimportant things got elevated to a place of importance. Their ego got inflated so much that it was all about them. It's me and mine and what I've done. Hey, listen, that happens. Life is lost. That individual ceased to really fully live as God intended for us to live. Listen, I want to tell you this. I believe it happens today to a lot of people. I believe it could happen to you. I just ask you this morning, have you forgotten God? Oh, preacher, I'm here! Okay, good. Are you on the verge of doing it? See, oftentimes it's recognizing where you are before you get there that's what you need to do. Hey, here's where I'm headed. That's not where I want to be. Not where I want to be. You ever found yourself driving down the road, looked up, and realized, wait a minute, this is not where I want to go. It's not the direction I want to go. One night I was coming back from the south side of Fort Worth. I lived right over here. And I was coming back from the south side of Fort Worth. Kind of a rainy night. And I'm driving along there. Don't know. No telling what was going on, thinking about. Or I might have been listening on the radio. I don't really remember now. But I looked up and I saw this sign. It said, Bowen exit, next exit. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm on the wrong road. I was on Interstate 20 headed towards Dallas. I didn't want to be going to Dallas. I wanted to come home. He said, what'd you do? Well, I kept driving to see if the road would change. No, I didn't do that, all right? I got off. I turned around. Are you with me? See, if you see yourself headed a direction where you really don't want to go, you begin to leave God out of your life. You begin to elevate the unimportant things. You begin to disobey what God says. You begin to think, I don't have to do what He says. You begin to think it's your talent and your ability. Hey, watch out! You're leaving Him out of your life. What a mistake. Can I say this to you? There's still time to come back. Still time to come back. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm already realizing I'm getting a little bit bitter. Listen to me. It's not too late to turn it around. It's not too late to turn it around. You're still alive. You can turn that thing around. You can get your life headed back the direction it needs to go. But you make that decision. Hey, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Maybe God's really blessing you right now. The windows of heaven are open, and there's not room enough to receive it. Okay? You're getting new savings accounts. You're getting a new retirement account. You're doing all of that, all right? You're getting it online trying to figure out, where am I going to put all this money? Now, a lot of you out there laughing say, "Preacher, I ain't never had that." See, I've seen a lot of other people forget God because they begin to look at other people and think, God's not doing that for me. Well, wait a minute. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Don't forget Him. Don't forget Him. What a mistake. Don't forget Him. Not too late to come back. Would you come back to Him today? Hey, maybe it's time to turn the car around, okay? Maybe it's time to turn your life around. Maybe it's time. It's a good place to do it. Would you stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for the warning, for the admonition You give us to remember, and, Lord, for the warning that we not forget.